Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Touchline Fracker. Been a busy Sunday. I'm going to go around and introduce this evening's panel. Olo, how you doing, bro?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm just here to fill space up today, you know.
Yeah, we get you. Yeah. We appreciate you, brother.
You're welcome, boys. You're welcome.
Good. Babs, first time on the main pod. Am I right?
Yeah, man. Debuting in this.
Yeah. Slowly rising up the ranks.
Come on.
Young contender. You guys won, so you should be happy. I see the Cho in the background, so I know what you're about.
Come on, man. That's Starboy right there, man. Starboy right there.
Yeah, sure. Mush. Hello, brother.
Hello, brothers.
Hello, brother. You good, yeah?
Brother Mush, how you doing, bro?
There's a lot going on, man. Boys, it's just, you know, I'm going to need your love and support throughout this hour and a half, however long.
You're not going to get it, but...
That's the problem, but a man can ask it. If you don't ask, you don't get in this world.
I respect you for asking for it, but no, of course you won't get it. Disu, Seb, how we doing, guys? How we doing?
Hold on.
It's just us.
Let me just have my last
thought. But I don't really trust. I don't.
You guys are good, yeah?
Wait, what can I say?
Something light. It's a light Sunday.
Not too heavy.
It's a light Sunday.
It's a calm Sunday evening. I mean, you have to get a little beverage.
Tranquilo.
Nothing much has gone on, to be honest.
Got the shades on.
This is a very calm exhibition, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying.
We'll get into that.
Hey, Seb. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers, brother.
We'll get into that. But before we get into that, let's talk about our partners, Fanslide, the in-play game. Babs, you said you played it today. I used it for the United-Liverpool game. It was tough. It was tough trying to pick, because I knew we were going to play the way we played today. But what did you think? What was your experience of Fanslide today?
Yeah, man, I can't lie. I absolutely bottled it today with Fanslide. You know, I went with an attacking setup. I had to pick up Martial, you know, Rashford, Salah in the first 20 minutes, and boy, we all saw how that ended up. So, you know, it wasn't really a fun experience for me.
Yeah, no, that's how it goes, isn't it? That's how it goes. Yeah, join us. We're all on there. You play, you have your opportunity to win part of the pot. So, yeah, sign up to Fanslide and you'll all see you on there. Cool. Before we start, we've all got our individual club YouTube channels now. So, you hop onto YouTube, you've got the Mugger channel, you've got the Chessy Hour, you've got Cop End, you've got Touchy Gooners. Sign up, subscribe, like, watch the videos, leave some comments. I see you guys watching it, liking it, but you're not leaving comments. That makes me feel weird. Like, you're watching me, you know what I mean? And obviously we've got the Discord, which was popping off today. Didn't see you there, Mush. I saw you. You kind of you crept in at halftime. Didn't say anything, and you cut out. Don't worry, I noticed that, and we'll get into that as well. but since I'm with you, let's talk about the game today. So the 0-0 draw, Liverpool versus Manchester United.
Yeah, I guess big build up. I felt like it hasn't felt like this in a build up on a match day for years, and I mean that throughout the league as well. I just don't think City have that kind of, you know, presence in the league. So it wasn't like, even the build up was enjoyable, the butterflies and all that stuff. But I felt like the game.
Oh yeah, butterflies.
Yeah, bro. That's what Liverpool do to me, man. But not in a good way anymore. Not in a good way.
I was comfy still. I was eating York puddings.
But no, I think the way the game went, I personally felt the game divided into three separate sections. I thought Liverpool, though there weren't many shots as such, I thought the first 30 minutes, Liverpool were playing really well in the sense of the intensity was good. I felt that where Liverpool were good, United were awful. I felt that Fred and McTominay were shocking in that first 30 minutes. And I thought Thiago really capitalized on that and he played really well at that period. United kind of saw that out and kind of coasted into the halftime. And then from then, honestly, to about 60 minutes, the game was just in like a stalemate. And then I personally felt the last 15, 20 minutes, the game was there for United to win. There was a lot of sharp one-touch play. And weirdly, I felt that United were actually poor on the day in terms of their pass selection, because I thought the game could have been killed on multiple occasions, let alone some of Alisson's saves. So, yeah, I don't think apart from the 30 minutes, there was a point where Liverpool deserved to win. Having the ball and just passing it back does not mean you deserve to win just because you have possession. So, no, I thought United played it perfectly. I felt like Luke Shaw, literally, it's at a stage now where he's obviously worked out how to play against Salah, because Salah just doesn't know what to do against him. And I don't know what it is about him, because there's players who are much worse than Salah who have an easy day against Shaw, but, you know, it is what it is. And then
no post moves. Salah ain't got no post moves, bro.
None. And what doesn't help, I even posted the tweet just before we came on. I asked, even you guys, you watch football, you watch the rest of the league. When was the last time you can recall Salah or Mane making a shot for themselves? When was the last time you recall them creating a chance for someone else? And when do you last recall them even missing a chance? It's dried up a lot.
You trying to say what? They ain't got the sauce anymore?
Bro, it's a straight up egg and cress, no mayo thing going on, man. It's not good at the moment. And I don't know. I talked about it all week with you guys on our live pod and everything, that there was no logic behind me saying that this game had to be a circuit breaker for us. But I thought it would just be the emotions of the day would take us to a place where we haven't been. But obviously, it seems it's not the case. And if I was a United fan, I'd be, I wouldn't say licking my lips, but I would be ecstatic at the fact that what you saw from Liverpool is something you probably shouldn't have to worry about too much week on week, unless something drastically changes. That's the truth of the situation.
Yeah, we're just calm, humble, proud, passionate, you know, the usual words. Seb, you were there in the Discord, obviously, you're a proud member of the Morgan Mafia. What were your thoughts on today's game? How we lined up? Because we did discuss in our space a couple of the selections we weren't necessarily happy with. But what were your thoughts on today's game?
Yeah, I think today's game was all right. It kind of went how I thought it would go. I thought at the start we would definitely try to defend and pick our moments. I don't know, man, because again, like, you know, I've been a person that said, oh, we must play Mick Fred in the team, innit? I think one of them's got to go now. Like, I think it has to be Fred. Like, I think Fred has to be the one that drops out, because, like, it's all fun and well, like, you know, blocking the central areas. But one thing I didn't think about when we was doing the Morgan pod is Liverpool don't even attack through those areas. Do you know what I mean? Those are not their strengths, innit? Like, those are not their strengths. So, like, it made no sense. And even you know, the defensive stuff that I said that Fred does well or McTom does well, more so Fred, yeah, he was just letting Thiago go, letting Thiago shoot, letting him do whatever he wants to do. So it really didn't work, innit? And we just saw that, again, even, like, if we even start with, like, when Alisson has the ball,
ball. Bruno should be on Thiago. Nobody's on Thiago. Thiago just strolls. Fred just doing whatever he wants to do. McTominay absent or whatever. So I think the first half was really easy for them. But I think it was easy for them onto a point. I think because their strong points are through the wide areas, and McTom and Wan-Bissaka are good 1v1 defenders, I think was able to deal with those things really, really well. And then when they didn't go through the wide areas and it was doing the diags or launching it in, you've got Slabbed in the middle, innit? So he's not losing no headers. So I think we was perfectly set up for that. I do think we should have won the game. I think we had the best chances. I don't think Rashford should have passed to Cavani. So I see people on Twitter basically saying, oh, Rashford's blatant, da, 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 da. You've never played football. Cavani makes that run to take the defender away. Yeah, number one. What I do think is Rashford should have shot. Yeah. He also underestimated Fabinho. So I do think it's poor execution, but passing to Cavani was the wrong decision. He should not have passed to Cavani. He should have actually shot or held it up for Pogba. He should have made that decision. Do you know what I mean? And I think that was poor on his behalf. I think Pogba, the shot in the area, he's just trying to get contact on it, innit? Really and truly, he just needed a bit of composure, and I think he could have slot that away. Bruno as well. Again, they're just trying to get contact on that. I think a bit more thought, a bit more creativity, and that goes in. But overall, we can't really complain. We didn't have much possession, but we did have the better chances. So, anyway, at the top, it's just us, innit? So, yeah.
As Seb says, at the top, it's just us. So, it's 18 points, 18 games, sorry, 37 points. We're 2 points ahead of Leicester, 3 points ahead of Liverpool. Obviously, you and myself have both been saying we're waiting. Are we in a title race? You're mute.
Sorry, brothers. When I heard Rashford and Pogba come out this week and basically say, yeah, we're in a title race, I think if the team are saying in a title race, who are we to argue to people actually competing on the pitch?
Comunicado Oficial, yeah?
Yeah, no, yeah. Like, I'm an objective person. The man saying we're in a title race. Who am I, bro? I'm just at home, fam. So, yeah, we're in a title race. I think today's game, the first 20 minutes, I was so angry because we're just getting spazzed on. And I think Liverpool, you can see that little rut they're in terms of their attacking play. Like, they weren't, usually Liverpool are so in sync and they were really good up until the final third when there's one time when I think Robertson was literally in acres of space in the box. Firmino passed it to him, he did a dead shot.
He did it twice.
Then Firmino missed a good chance. Salah and Mane couldn't get past either fullback, so they're just getting padlocked. So it was a lot of good, very dangerous approach play, but they just couldn't really have that final bit of quality there. And I was really happy with what I seen. I agreed with Seb, but Tomlin and Fred were really getting fists up in midfield. And to be fair, they weren't really helped by Bruno. And I'm not sure if it's a tactical thing, but United played a 4-2-3-1, but in our defensive shape looks more like a 4-4-2 because Bruno and Rashford are pretty close together, or if it's Bruno and Cavani or Bruno off Martial. Bruno's always very close in terms of, what's the word? Not horizontally, vertically. He's like right next to my man, Rashford. And sometimes he'll just randomly go and press Fabinho or Ederson, and they'll just pop it around him. And then here's Thiago, the most important player, the person who's playing the best on the pitch right now of acres of space. So it didn't really help our centre midfielders. But at the same time, I think for the first like half an hour, even when we got the ball back, we just gave it away straight away. And that's because McTominay and Fred, they kind of were a bit scared in terms of possession-wise, because when Lindelof and Mags had the ball, they'll just kind of run away from them. What do you want Lindelof and Maguire to do? So, I wasn't really impressed. I didn't really like the tactics. And I was like, the midfield three is really starting to trouble us. But you know how it's hard to get into the game? Liverpool started to ease off, started to get to the game. And then in the second, and I think one of the things that we really messed up in the first half was just execution. Like, Rashford was offside like four times, but I think only once I could blame Rashford for running early. All the other times, the guy's just taking too long to pass the ball. Just too long to pass the ball. So I was like, oh, Rashford, you're faster than them anyway. Maybe just wait a bit because you know these men, Wan-Bissaka, Shaw, Fred, they just take too long to the side to pass the ball, innit? So I thought there was a threat there. I was a bit surprised with the Martial sub because I don't think he was terrible or anything. And I think that, and I thought that United are really in the game now. So I think we could take the game to Liverpool and put Pogba in midfield, have an actual front three, give Robertson something to think about going the other way, and then at least you know with Pogba, the first pass is going to be good into Bruno or to whoever. But we went with taking off Martial, and we just missed three really good chances. Bruno should definitely score. I hear what Seb says. I think he should have passed to Cavani because Cavani went through. But again, the run Cavani made seemed more like almost like a decoy run. I think Cavani should have made an actual normal run because he probably would have scored. But yeah, Rashford should have pulled
it. I think he thought Fabinho would go with him. But Fabinho's like, I don't even rate you. I'm staying with this guy.
Yeah. But I think the moment Rashford took it round him, he should have let it fly. But and then Pogba's chance, like, if you're going to go near post, you have to roof it. You have to roof it. But on seeing replays, because I think David said that, I can't remember who slid in. There's no way he could go far post.
Fabinho.
Yeah. But still, it weren't even like at the near post. So I'll show Alisson. So yeah, man. I think it's an opportunity to get points off Liverpool that we dropped. But I just wanted to say, a few weeks, I think one of the last time I was on the pod, the second to last time, I was with my brother Mush. And I said it simply, don't let us go into the Burnley game with a chance to go top, my bro. Mush was saying, he made about 55 promises to Allah. I was like, boy, I'm not sure Allah's hearing them promises because I don't know. He clearly didn't. Listen. And then on a Discord, when Liverpool got dunked on by, who was it? Southampton. I was like, boy, he's looking spooky for you lot. All the Liverpool, Harold, the bold guy, the angry glam guy, 5'2" Marco, 5'3" Anik, Mush, all these Ellis who eats protein shakes and stew, all these men were telling me, Watch me come to Anfield. I was like, all right, cool. I'll watch when I come to Anfield.
I saw it. We
lost a City in a cup. They had the little group chain. Like, okay, let's make sure we come to the Discord, guys. They were hyping. Watch when we come to Anfield. Boy, you've come to Anfield. Know what I mean? Seb seemed comfy. Mariah's comfy. I'm comfy. I got my drink on. Got my shades on. Top of the league. Get me. You're comfy, bro. Don't ever call up the Mugga Mafia again. I told you,
man.
We are comfy on any block. Yeah, comfy. Don't call us out, bro. We're just part of the passionate.
That's it. That's all we are. Cool. Babs, you sat there quietly, made a couple of faces, but you haven't said too much. You watched the game as a neutral. You've heard what the guys have had to say. Do you have any takes that you feel like none of them really touched upon? What was your thoughts when you were watching the game?
I think going on from what Mush said about the game being in three spells, there were moments where like a chance would fall to Firmino and Robertson would make an amazing run darting on the left-hand side and he just ignored him. It was criminal, you know, but like that chance there would have made it simple for the simple cutback. And I know if I was watching the City, they're going to do that with ease. But I don't know, you know, what can I say? You know, this is Liverpool at the moment. You know, last five games, was it one goal in the last four games? I don't know. It's looking a bit weird. You know, the form isn't looking good at the moment for Liverpool. You know, I mean, Chelsea, we're fucking shit. And we're only five points behind you lot. So, I mean, boy, like,
our team's below us looking at us to chase now.
No. Hey, look, man. All I'm going to say is, yeah, 5 points. Did you hear Mush's voice?
Like the hurt.
I'd be worried.
Bad.
I've got nothing left.
Worried about what? Chelsea?
I didn't say you were worried about us. I said you were worried about the top, innit?
Okay, cool.
If we're only 5 points behind you...
This, I'm worried that people think we're tangible, bro. The fall from grace has been scary, man.
This is mad. You know what we've been saying, man, on Touchline, you know? It's only the best Prem teams that could do the double, you know?
That's back.
Chelsea did it. United did it. City did it. It's looking a bit funny for them Liverpool boys over there.
Man, Liverpool looking a bit in the mud right now still, you know, like... Mush, you should be in fear, man. I can't lie to you, bro.
I mean, look, we haven't even touched on...
Bro, views from the 11th, you know? Views from 11th.
Bruh, views from the 11th. It's a bit mad, you know? Like, Mush, I hate to say it, bro.
Nah, it's... Okay, I mean, the views are respected from the 11th. I mean... A limit, I've got to say, but
chill.
There's a cap. There's a cap on how much he respects you.
Yeah. But now I've got to say, boys, one thing. I'm sure you've all been waiting for this. I need to talk about one man's performance today.
What are you saying, Firmino?
Nah.
Nah.
I'm intrigued. Who do you want to talk about? There's a few players you could.
I want to speak about Liverpool's non-existent right back. At the moment.
Oh, Starboy Trent.
Hey, boy.
Listen.
Come forward, brother. The floor is yours.
This is outrageous because if I'm looking at a fullback out of form, right, you can accept a player being out of form if maybe one aspect of their game is going well, but then other parts aren't working out. Now, Trent is not running or overlapping. He is not passing the ball well. He is not defending well. He is not. His first delivery, which was good, was in the 78th minute. The one which flew across and went for a throw anyway because no one got on the end of it.
What 20 crosses later, yeah?
Well, the thing is, bro, I don't mind if there's 20 good crosses. The amount of crosses don't bother me because that's why we've been successful. But right now, I don't know what's going on, if there's something off the pitch or whatever it is, but Trent Alexander-Arnold is killing Liverpool's attacking prowess at the moment because everything goes through Robertson. So
I can't lie, I didn't see him do one overlap.
He didn't. This year, I told you, there was one moment in the game, I think it was about minute 55 or something, Mo Salah even points. He says, yo, overlap, please.
Yeah, because I think he did it kind of, but he didn't do it with any like genuine intent. He kind of
he just kind of shuffled across.
Yeah.
By the time he got across, United were 3-1 on Salah. So I can't even blame Salah for being poor because he can't, like Seb said about the Rashford-Cavani moment, about taking a marker away. The only way wingers can free up, and you guys on that right-hand side have seen it more than anyone from the weeks you've had Wan-Bissaka and you've had Greenwood, who ends up having to take on two men. Mo Salah's having to do that weekly now as well because of how Trent's playing. So that's a big killer for me. There were a lot of bad displays. Wijnaldum, I thought, was really poor. Shout out Jordan Henderson, though, because playing at centre-back, and he's never played there through his youth years or anything, I thought he didn't look like he was out of position in the way he played. Obviously, you don't want him there week in, week out. But for the level that Rashford's playing at, I thought that he stood himself in really good stead and he actually looked really comfortable in the position. Even defensively, won a few tackles.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning Instant Karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
As well.
So who do you feel was your best player today then?
That's a good question. I think I'm not going to give it to Thiago because I thought after the 30 minutes, second half, Thiago's passing was really passive until that shot. So I don't
the
want
to... The thing is with Thiago as well, yeah, he looks good when he's doing things. So, like, when he looks good, Thiago, like, he might not do something for 5 minutes.
It stays in your memory for long, isn't it? That's the thing.
He slices his foot through the ball and puts a mad spin on it.
Yeah, in our group chat, Leroy and Ant were like, oh my God, you've seen the things that Thiago's doing technically. I'm like, I've watched him pass the ball off the pitch 4 times. Don't do this. I was like, bro, pass the ball off the pitch 4 times.
He's always going to look good doing whatever he does, but I agree. The second half, yeah.
I think Fabinho was very good for them.
Yeah, I think Fabinho was
really, really good at the back. He's really good at the back. I think for based on everything I've seen the last 3 years, he's probably your second best central defender.
He's level with Van Dijk. What was he doing that Van Dijk didn't do? What did Van Dijk do differently than what he done? Nothing.
Seb.
I don't mind this talk because he also plays for Liverpool. So I'm fine with this.
First thing on the ball from Van Dijk. He's a bit more incisive. He's passive than Fabinho.
We're forgetting that no one dribbled past Van Dijk for a year. We're forgetting that.
Oh, yeah.
You need to stop talking about this old dribbling off, pass. I saw Pepe dribble past him.
Maguire had that stat as well.
Yeah.
I know about that stat. I don't know about that speed.
Fam, that stat was the goal.
Hey, quick.
Where Nicolas Pepe.
Hey. Why does Salah have no post moves? Salah can even beat Maguire. Hey, you got some chit chit kick, needs to get some new clothes, cuz.
No, handles, poor, nothing, not a single trick. There's no locker. Handles, nothing.
No, he's handles, looking, bro.
He's you know what? I didn't even know Salah was this stiff, you know.
Both Salah come like DeAndre Jordan with a dribble.
It's literally ever since Salah celebrated Christmas, it's been over for him. Like I said, they cursed him when he celebrated Christmas. It's been done for him. Still,
Seb, Allah's angry with me and Mo at the same
bad
time.
Bro, he's angry with me, bro.
This is the problem.
It's a bad combo.
Salah's looking like pre Nets Harden, bro. That Christmas way ain't shifting, man. It's not good at the moment.
And on the other side, I want to talk about Luke Shaw. He's been here for what, 6 years? I don't even know how long he's been here at this
seven,
point.
Seven. He's this is his eighth year.
Wow. So he's been here for 8 years, and we've kind of he came in 30 million. He was supposed to secure our left hand side for the next decade. That hasn't quite happened. In the midst of that, he's had a serious injury. We've always noticed that he tends to play better when his position is under threat. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. He tends to coast when he's the clear number one choice left back. The minute his position's under threat, his performance improves. So as we discussed on the Discord, Sebi said that Telles was a good investment for 13 million for the fact that he's made Luke Shaw improve his performances. What did we think of him today? Babs, I'll ask you, Babs.
I think he had an easy job today, I'm not going to lie. I didn't really think there was much of a threat coming from Salah with the dribble. You know, you see Salah running at you, the ball's bobbling at his feet. He's looking as much to trip over himself. And then on the overlap with Trent, there's literally no other threat. So in the terms of approach that United had, where you have to sit back, there's not really much of a job for Shaw to do. You know, he kept it simple, the passing. He didn't really have to do anything too crazy. On the offensive, and I didn't really see much from him. But I think like he did an all right job. You know, he did an all right job. I can't fault him at that end.
I'm gonna ask someone who watched the game. Dissu, what did you think?
I thought, yeah, this is one of Shaw's best performances defensively. Like he was really good. Because usually I get annoyed with Shaw that he's tucked in too much, so the gap between him and Maguire is a lot shorter than it should be, and then he has to go out and get to the crosser, and then the crosser has so much time and space across the ball. He didn't really allow it to happen this time, and he was just onto Salah, because he can match up to Salah physically in terms of speed as well as strength, and he's like, you got no post move, so show me something. And he just didn't have it. The only thing, and he created a good chance for Bruno, who I think Bruno probably should have scored. But of course, Alisson was just an incredible keeper, great save. But I think the only thing I'll fault Shaw for today, and is a long-term issue, my issue if I've had a Shaw this season, is he takes too long to pass the ball.
The amount of times where just inject some. Like, I don't need you to put your foot on it in their final third. Make your decision, make it quickly. Are you running with it and getting a ball in, or are you giving
and that's what Liverpool's do really quickly. How many times you get the ball, Robertson, and just fizz it into Firmino, fizz it into, do you know what I mean? I'm not even saying doing that. Sometimes Martial's there, or Rash is there, or Bruno's there. Like, there's one time, none of the free kick where Bruno took me just missed the post, yeah? Like, I think it was Rashford was making a very good run in behind. Give him the fucking ball. You're running. And the thing is, if Shaqiri didn't do a bonehead tackle, Fabinho would have just clamped through anyway. And do you know what I mean? Like, so that's the only thing, that's the only issue I have. And the reason, I know it's a bit harsh to mention it after such a great performance, but I'm only mentioning it because it is a theme, happens all the time. But today, best player, I think he was the best player on the pitch.
Sorry, I just wanted to add about Shaw, one thing that, as someone who's watching him, doesn't support United, I think one thing that made Shaw perfect for today, but sees him struggle against other teams, is that Shaw's the kind of player where he's got athletic gifts which help him react to situations, but he doesn't know how to control a situation. So if you're playing up against a player like Salah, who is dangerous, but he's not the cleverest or the sharpest, he's fine because Salah, like you said, he'll control the ball. Then Shaw has time to decide. It's when he comes up against maybe an off the ball mover or something like that, where he really struggles. Yeah. And it's the same on the ball as well. Luke Shaw, I have never seen Luke Shaw play something first touch, even if it's a 5 yard pass. He will never play it first time. And that kills United attacks. You know what I mean? That's the only difference between him and Robertson when it comes to athletically. I think they actually match up. But Luke Shaw, I don't think, naturally has that quickness to his game, like this you're saying.
Yeah, this has been a theme his whole career. Cool. So, yeah, that was that. With all the hype, we had the preview on Friday and whatnot. It ended up being a pretty dull affair. That's how Ollie would have wanted it, to be honest with you. I think if we tried to come out and play, we would have ended up leaving too many gaps. And with that kind of time and space, I think your attackers would have picked us off. So, yeah, we go again. I'll come to you now, Babs, to talk about your game. If you got Cho in the background, I think you got, what, 5 minutes? Can't remember. So it was...
They still managed to make a comp out of it as well.
Swear down. Where?
Yo, there was a Ronaldinho comparison. He played 5 minutes. There was a Ronaldinho comparison on the TL. So I want to
Ronaldinho vibes.
Right, listen, Chelsea fans have lost it.
I saw Babs in the comments. Yes, bro. Yes, bro.
Ronaldinho fans have lost it.
That was definitely the prison version of Ronaldinho.
Do you know what? I don't blame them, man. Lampard's doing a lot to them lot, man. They need something in it. They need something to hold on to right now, man.
I hear you. So it was a 1-0 win, 77th minute, I think. Mason Mount, another one of your star boys. And what did you think of the game?
Yeah, it was a pretty boring game. We didn't really do much up till the 70th minute. In the build up to the game, us and the Cheshire boys, we were quite worried about the midfield battle because, you know, with Kante suspended, we wouldn't really have an actual combative midfielder to go against Anguissa. He's been pretty good this season, if you guys have been watching Fulham. And not only that, in the last 5 games, I think Fulham are the only team that haven't actually lost the game. So there were some worries on our end because, you know, us over at Chelsea, you know, we're Charity FC. As you guys may have seen, you know, we tend to give up these easy wins. And yeah, I mean, going into it, the first half, Cavalero had a good chance, which he missed. We caught life there. And literally towards the end of the first half, Anthony Robertson got sent off. And from there, it was like, okay, now there's literally no excuse but to actually go and win the game. And even then, going into the second half, we didn't really do much in terms of creativity-wise. You know, we had like a couple half chances here and there. We didn't really impress much in terms of our attacking play. It was pretty much just get the ball out to the fullbacks and put a cross in, which is pretty much how we've been playing this season. You know, I was talking to some of my mates and I literally said, like, if you're to describe Lampard's tactics, it's literally reading Klopp's tactics in 5 minutes and trying to do it as quick as possible. That's literally what it is, fam. Like our tactics are absolutely diabolical. And going into the game, like, you know, we had Ziyech, and Ziyech was under Anthony Robertson's, like,
I heard Ziyech, Pulisic,
Ola was like, you know what? Mike could be chill here. I don't really have to do anything too crazy. And, you know, it only came onto the 75th minute where Cho came on. You know, he had Aina on skates. He chipped it over towards Chilwell.
No, he didn't. Aina didn't move.
Did you watch the game?
Aina on skates. Yeah,
I watched the game. Fam, Aina was watching a young Shaku, fam. He wasn't. He didn't go anywhere. He was on skates, bro.
He was. Why did Cho loft it to the other side of the pitch if you and it was on skates instead of going down the
byline?
Because
he's intelligent enough that he doesn't have to beat his man to create a chance.
It's intelligent. Well, he didn't create a chance.
You know what?
You Chelsea fans, you're always doing a lot with Cho, you know. Is that when he was 1-1 with Tierney? He pushed the ball to the side.
BTM, doing too much. And
you're saying man's on skates. You're saying Tierney was on Haggis or something, bro. So, bro, I don't trust that.
My man ain't racked 10 Prem goals yet, you know. They're talking about him like he's...
Boy. Bro, do you know how much? What's he saying? Chilwell had to do on the Cho comp. They spent up Chilwell's bits. Don't fucking kill me. Listen, when it comes to Cho, my slander is A1. You can never come to bring that Cho slander here, bro. Cho hasn't beat a man in 5 games, bro. So calm down.
He beat Tierney for Abraham's goal. So what do you mean?
Abraham's goal. Oh, kicked it down the line.
That went Tierney, bro. That was Willock, man. Joe Willock.
No, don't try it. It was Tierney.
Are we calling that beating a player by just kicking it down the line and then?
It wasn't kicking down the line because he went around him.
He sent Joe Willock, bro. That's the only man.
He made the yard across it.
He went around. All I'm gonna say is he got an assist in the day, you know.
Certain man
star boys can't say the same thing. But you know,
Who's star boy? Which star boy are you talking to? I want names.
I'm gonna say certain man on the bench right now.
Okay, I want to hear names.
Man on the bench.
Trolls on the bench.
Trolls on the bench as well.
Oh, okay. Greenwood. Okay, it's just the same Greenwood that has scored more league goals last season than Cho has in period.
What, the striker? Yeah, of course.
He started.
Cho doesn't get starts like that.
Yeah, so respect.
Why?
Respect.
Did Cho start last season, yes or no?
A couple games.
The beginning of the season, was Cho not starting?
Beginning of the season, he was actually injured. So he had a couple starts here or there.
And guess what happened? He got benched.
Unlucky, Babs.
I believe he got injured, but you know.
Got dunked,
no, they didn't. He
got injured. He got injured. He got injured. Yeah, he did. He got injured going into COVID.
Babs, bow out, man. Business decision.
Let Babs finish. So, Babs, yeah, finish up your summary of the game.
Yeah, don't do that again, yeah, Babs. Yeah, this is your first time, yeah?
Hey, man, look, I've got a cook.
Go on, Babs.
Yeah, man, other than that, you know, the game was pretty easy. You know, Fulham didn't really have anything else to do with 10 men. And yeah, you know, we took
Babs, can points. I ask you a question, please? Did you think it was a red?
No.
I didn't think it was a red. What did you guys think?
I think you guys are pretty fortunate. I think
if it was 11-11, I don't think we'd win that game.
Mm, cool. Yeah, so you mentioned a few players. I want to ask the panel about a few of your players because these are obviously Lampard signings. A lot of money coming. You guys have said we're not league contenders, but I think what you're doing now is even worse than our worst expectations. So I'll start with Timo Werner. And I'll start with you, Seb. You can start.
Oh!
Timo Werner. Do you know what's funny? At the start of the season, yeah, we get this all the time. We ask, who's better, Werner or Rash? People will be like, Werner. The Bundesliga thing is just like mad. It's super, super mad. But now we're seeing Werner can't even control the ball, bro. Like, Werner looks like me on a Monday. It's looking crazy, bro.
No. You make it stick, Seb.
I make it stick sometimes. But Werner is looking mad, bro. In fact, he plays like Lewis. Plays like Lou Bob. Werner actually plays like Lewis. Lou Bob or Molly. Fam. When I see Werner play, just his first touch is so poor. Like, the movement is rubbish. And I knew he was going to come, and I knew he was going to get shoehorned on the left. I said that in our chat. And I'm like, nah, he's going to play up front. I knew he was going to play on the left because I just didn't think he'd get the space in a Prem. You know when he's just running through on goal? I don't think he'll get the space on the Prem. And then he got the space yesterday anyway. And he missed the chances. Missed clear-cut chances. So his finishing is actually poorer than I actually expected. Do you know what I mean? So for me, it's looking like a poor investment on Chelsea's end. And I keep hearing from the Chelsea boys, wait until he goes up front or whatever. But if you're getting chances in front of goal and you're not even finishing, how's man going to trust you to play up front? Do you know what I mean? How's somebody going to trust you to play up front? So, yeah, man, I'm going to keep an eye on that. But eventually we're going to be comparing him to Greenwood.
Another one, Kai Havertz, Dissu. Your thoughts on Kai Havertz? I know it's tough because he's not playing, but
there's a reason he's not playing, because like Chelsea are losing games looking for goals. Trying for big man on like 100 million all money in. Rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle. All money in, bro. Listen. I saw a couple highlight videos. I'm not gonna lie, I love a bit of swag. So I was guessing, like, raw. This guy looks kind of wavy. The stats look like he's knocking the ball through people's legs. But again, This is Germany. Like, wake up. This is Germany, bro. That's the same league Aubameyang looked fast in. That's the same league Mkhitaryan came from. That's the same league. You know what I'm saying? Cool. Boom. Comes to the Premier League here, where, as Seb said, you ain't got 500 minutes on the ball. Teams ain't playing. Teams aren't getting counter-attacks. One man at the back, even though it's the second minute. Do you know what I mean? And them Dortmund goals where they're it's like Brands, Haaland, Sancho, and Royce versus one centre-back. These times it's what's going on? Hey, that league is fucking cheeks. And I knew that league was cheeks when I saw that Naby Keita brother come in and he plays football. I digress. See Havertz, yeah, he's come to the Premier League. And do you know what, yeah? Certain people don't hit the ground running. It happens, you know what I mean? But one thing I look to see in a player is I want to see something. Like, even if you don't play well, there's something there. So let's say Rashford isn't playing well, or let's say Mane isn't playing well, you could see that they have something. Do you know what I mean? It's just not coming off. From Havertz, I don't see speed. I don't see strength. I don't see creativity. I don't see dribbling. I don't see shooting. I don't see nothing. Like, all I've seen Havertz do is get the ball and lose it, or get the ball, give it wide. Like, I don't see no real, not to say like he's a terrible player, but I don't see any real class. And I asked a question on my Twitter, rank these four: Bruno, Havertz, Madison, and Grealish. And virtually everybody had Havertz over Madison and Grealish. And from what I've seen so far, he can't tie Madison or Grealish's laces. He can't. So that sign is looking spooky, 100 million. And I'm not even trying to hear, time. No, man costs 100 M's, bro. We're giving him people weren't trying to give Pepe time. People weren't trying to give Pogba time. People were trying to give Lukaku time. Well, you come for big P's. You don't hit the ground running. Man out on you. That's just the game, bro. So if Havertz was at least giving us, like a bit of something, okay, cool. I can see Havertz has got that. Do you know what I mean? Like, even Ziyech, I'm impressed with Ziyech at all. But I can at least see Ziyech's got tech or Ziyech's got a nice left foot. You know, he's just doing cutting, inshallah. Wallah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Turbo, inshallah. But at least you can see something. Like, Chilwell, show me something. At least, even though Werner's been terrible, it shouldn't have Werner aggressive, hungry. He's got a couple of decent goals. Havertz has been abysmal. So, yeah, man. I'm staying true to that. And man, we're talking kind of crazy on Havertz. No names, though. Yeah, that Ansof, if I'm Ederson.
They know they are. Midi, if I'm Ederson.
Facts.
Mush, Hakim Ziyech. Some have said he's better than Riyad Mahrez. What are your thoughts on him since he's come in?
Mariah, I think I need to introduce a feature with you brothers here. I'm going to create a new feature today. And hopefully we'll see you come out of it. But I'm introducing Juma Club, yeah? Anyone who's in need of prayer on a weekly basis, I just need to know. I know you're laughing, boys. We can see you laughing. But we're doing... Welcome to Touchline.
Juma Club. I fucking did.
Go anyone on. In need of weekly prayer is going to be part of Juma Club, all right? They're going to come with me. Right now, me, Mo Salah, Hakim Ziyech. We're in need. We're in need of help. We're in need of the love of a higher power, yeah? To sort out what we're going through, yeah? And... Look, I don't earn 60k a week. I don't earn 60k a week to need to come out of Juma Club. But some other guys need to justify the pay slip. And unfortunately, from what we're seeing from Hakim Ziyech right now, I can't have 3 years of cussing, crossing inshallah, to get the Edgware Road version coming into this country as well.
Man, I'm calling him the couscous Ashley Young. Man, I'm calling him the couscous Ashley Young.
Call it whatever you want, man. Call it whatever you want, but you cannot cover this style of play at the moment because there's no variation. Seb's already talked about it. We saw meaty Champions League group stage comps, didn't we, Seb? When we were seeing these group games, they were trying to convince us. Are you convinced, Seb, my brother?
Bush, I think you're speaking to the wrong person because I was a Ziyech.
Oh, really? Oh, that was the Havertz one.
Yes. Skip past me, guys.
Hey, listen. They were telling me, I ain't really pleased yet because I'm not watching no Dutch league, innit? Like, I have better things to do with my time, innit? Like, I'm a busy man, I ain't got time for that shit. So they were telling me, remember at the beginning of the season, in our group chat, you know, Touchdown Frackers, there was a thing like Man United's attack versus Liverpool attack. I mean, not Liverpool's attack. We're not crazy. Versus Chelsea's attack. So it was, Martial, Rash, Greenwood, da-da-da-da versus Bruno, da-da-da versus Havertz, Werner, Ziyech, da-da-da. And I was like, boy, I think I'll take a Man United attack. If Werner is who you man say he is, then cool. If he's going to bring that Bundesliga 30-goal season thing to the Premier League, obviously going to be better than Martial. From what I've seen, I can't see Ziyech being better than Rashford, but let me at least watch Man. Fam, Ziyech cannot tie Rashford's laces. That guy does cross, inshallah. And we have Mr. Media telling me that he's better than Mahrez. An absolute crime. A travesty.
What are we saying? He needs to be arrested for that.
Babs, you could talk to us on Ziyech, yeah? Because all I see Ziyech do is cut inside and just let it go.
You know the funniest thing? You're talking to the wrong guy because I was not a Ziyech fan in the first place anyway.
He's one-dimensional. Mush, what was the turbo version of Inshallah? What was the more serious version of Inshallah? Because that is what Ziyech is on. He just cuts his side and just...
Cross an Alhamdulillah, bro.
That's the one. That's the podcast title. Because that is what Ziyech is on. It is absolutely insane. I've seen somebody... maybe if I find it. It was from that Nigerian Twitter, yeah? How Nigerian Twitter got content on Ziyech? Like, come on, fam. Like...
I think I saw that one. I think he said, let there be somebody in the box. Let there not be somebody in the box. Ziyech is crossing it. You don't care.
He has a real sickness when it comes to crossing.
Ziyech,
cross him. You just
say... Ziyech will just cut and cross. If you be there. If you don't like, you know, Konsonam, just cross. Man, I'm saying, Drew the winner, like, Eds, don't fucking kill me. When Ziyech cuts inside, nah.
Cool. Like we said, boys, like we said, Mariah, please continue. But on a weekly feature, like NABCAM, we will now have the weekly Juma Club and we'll see who makes it in and out.
Yeah, hey, Mariah, we'll keep an eye. Can I say something objective on Chelsea? Small. Yeah. Sure. Listen, as much as I love the banter show, and that's mainly because of two human beings I utterly despise, even though I pretend to be their friends, it is a travesty that Hudson-Odoi doesn't start for Chelsea. He, like, from what I've seen, he looks like better than all their players. And you could, in my opinion, you could tell these things by certain actions, like the speed they do things, what they try to do. Like, as soon as Hudson-Odoi comes on, even though, like, in 20 minutes, he'll at least get the ball, dribble, try a play a 1-2 off a man, execute it. He's not just going to cross the ball, hopefully, like certain man. Like, what does he need to do to get the opportunity to play? Because at least when he comes on, he checks a certain bit of impetus. Pulisic, man, I think somebody tweeted, Pulisic should do 90 minutes of quick feet when I have nothing to show
that,
for it.
That tweet killed me. Because it's facts. It's literally facts.
Okay, so guys.
Right, Mishu just got applied to be the next Captain America at this rate, man.
man said, fuck Chris Evans, dog.
We've spoken about all these signings that Chelsea have had over the last season or two. If they're supposedly failing to deceive, how much of that is Lampard's fault? How much of that are we putting on the players? Because he's a manager who I definitely feel like the spotlight is on him at present. So what's your weighting with that, Babs? How much are you putting it on the players maybe not being what you thought they were, or is the manager not putting them in the best positions to succeed?
Yeah, I've always said, at the end of the day, tactically, you can look at the manager, but when it comes to application, it's the player. That's literally it. Werner missing chances, that's not on the manager. It doesn't matter if he's playing left wing, right wing, centre forward, centre back. He's missing the chances. That's on him. At the end of the day, you know? You know, like, what else? Ziyech, out wide, you know, he doesn't really do much. He's quite one-dimensional. You know, the crosses could be nice at times, but he's quite Bruno-ish in that he's just high volume. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Like, no matter what's gonna happen, he's gonna put the cross in. Like, there was a moment in that City game, and I was watching it, and it was like Werner was in the box. Ziyech looked down the ball and said, "Fuck it, man spamming the ball into the box." And that's literally what it's been like in the last couple of games with him.
You see, like on Street Fighter, when you first play, you just press any button.
Just spamming buttons.
Button buttons.
And even going on to that, I think the easy way to alleviate that with Ziyech would be to play him centrally. Because it takes a lot of what he has to do in terms of playing 1v1 against fullbacks away. Because he doesn't have the burst. He's not dimensional, the fact that he can go off either feet. And yeah, he's still a creative player. You know, he's still a talented player. But at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to play well out wide. On Kai, you know, he's been poor. I'm not going to lie, he's been poor, you know. If we look at the last couple of games, you know, he's looked a bit lackluster. You know, he's had COVID. I'm not going to just excuse it to COVID like certain man did with Pogba. But, you know, what can I say? You know, the application's been poor. It's been poor. I mean, when we came into the City game, you know, he looked a lot more energetic. He beat his man. He got a cross in to get assist Cho for a goal. And that was the first positive that we got to see from him in particular. But, you know, yeah, he's still a young player, so hopefully we do get to see more from him. But yeah, as you said, Mario, I think a lot of it, yes, you can say, you know, the tactics from the manager, but at the end of the day, it's always application. You know, like, the manager's not going to be there to kick the ball with you.
So where are you when it comes to Frank now? You're 4 points off the top four at present. Are you somebody who wants to see him have
a bit more time?
So you are blaming the manager.
No. I don't like the manager, but I'm just saying, I'm not going to...
Babs, how much, like, let's say you're doing it in percentage, innit? So what, is it like 80% Frank, 20% the players then?
No, that'd be a lie. It's 60, at most, I'd say 60% Frank. When it comes to new signings, 60%, 40% players.
Because I saw you lot against us, you know. Mm. Oh, like, the way you set you lot up here, to me, it was looking like 80% Frank more time, man.
Yeah, no. But what Mariah, the question Mariah asked was about the new signings and how they've been playing this season, unless I'm mistaken.
But in general,
a lot of it is down to Frank in terms of his tactics. Yeah. It's a Liverpool for dummies. That's literally what he's trying to do.
Are you lot, quickly, yeah? What's that guy's name? Is it McGoldrick or Werner?
McGoldrick or Martial?
Martial.
Yo, McGoldrick got a hattie against Chelsea, didn't he? Was it a brace?
It was a brace.
Got a brace, guys.
Oh, we ate that day. We ate that day.
Oh, no, that day on the Discord, me and Mariah. Oh.
Wow. We ate. Okay, yeah. Cool. So we'll keep an eye on you guys. You started really well. It's just the wheels seem to have just come
off. I don't think we started well, man. I think it was a false image.
Bro, I was listening to them episodes of Chessy Hour. Please, let's not revise history. Please, brother. Thank you. Oh, I haven't forgotten you, sir. So you had a 0-0 the other day against Crystal Palace, and you've got Newcastle tomorrow.
That was a good result against Palace. Oh,
good result.
Against Palace.
It makes some people happy, innit? It keeps my man in the job for now, innit? Like, I'm tired of it, man. Do you know what? I can't even watch us with happiness anymore, man. I just...
How long have you been saying that, though? I feel like you've been saying that as long as Touchline's been on.
Bro, it's a long time now, man. I'm just sad that this guy's a bum as well as a manager, and I'm just sad.
Were you an Arteta believer?
I was for one point, then the switch came on and there was one game, I can't remember, I think it was Leicester at home, actually, sorry. And my life really changed, and I became one of them Wenger out boys, you know, but with Arteta. I mean, in terms of that game, though, it was a pretty dull game. Like, no one really deserved to win. Probably Palace had the better chances. Eze was impressive. He had a good game against us. In terms of our players, we were missing Tierney, and Kana showed. David Luiz was David Luiz, Rob Holding was Rob Holding, Bellerin was Bellerin. It's just typical things you expect. And then obviously, in terms of us going forward, we weren't really good. We didn't really make many chances. So yeah, it's not much to write home about, because we're playing Newcastle again on Monday, and tomorrow, and I'm not really...
Can I ask you a question? What do you think, based on the personnel you've got, what's the highest or the most that this current group can achieve?
Can finish.
Yeah.
Eighth or seventh. I mean, if we had a better coach, I think
you are cheeks.
Nah, we're terrible, man. Like, if we had a better, I think with Arteta, if we had someone other than Arteta, so a better coach, let's say, do you know what? I can't really think of any right now. Huh?
Ollie.
All right, bro, chill.
Ollie's not better than Arteta.
Chill. I'm not saying that edit yet, but chill with that guy, man. I won't have him edit. I won't take him. But I just think a better coach can do better with this squad. I don't think... I think Arteta's kind of like made it... It's too late for him to be using all these resources. I think part of the reason where we are is due to him not grabbing all the resources we have and using them the way he's supposed to use them. I mean... We've seen so many stupid...
Three wins in your last four games.
As much as
we criticise him, in your current position, you are...
14th?
10 points off fourth. That's a bit too much for me to say you are. It's a bit of a gap.
10 points off fourth, and then what it is, to me, you look at the fixtures coming up in February, and I just know what's going to happen with those fixtures. So you're getting
further away from the top sides, not closer, yeah?
Yeah, we're not going to get close enough, because especially that point we dropped against Palace, that's pretty much like...
I thought it was a point gained.
That's not a point gained.
It is, man.
It's not a point gained for us.
So just to mention, in February, well, you've got us on the 30th of January, and you're away at Wolves, you're away at Aston Villa.
You see our victory list, bro.
You got City at home.
Ooh, yep.
You're away at Leicester. You're away at Burnley.
Yeah. Feeling what I'm feeling?
I see the vision
with me now.
Hey, what's the first? What's the first fixture in that list?
Out of the difficult run, I'd say it's us on the 30th of January.
Okay, on the 30th, I need to make sure that I sign up to the Arsenal Patreon. I want to.
We need that content.
Obviously, we can go on a good run now, but bro, when that fixture list starts, oh my God.
Hey, I've got a question for Olo. I've got a question for Olo. Saka or Eze?
Huh?
Saka or Eze? You heard
bro,
me the
why
first
are you
time.
Trying to do that to me?
I asked you the question the first time. Saka or Eze?
You can't do that to me.
Yes,
bro.
I can. Saka or Eze?
You can't do that to me.
I know your answer. That's cool. Go on. You can move on.
I refuse to be involved. I can't answer that, man. I actually can't answer that.
Speaking of Eze, City are currently 1-0 up against Crystal Palace.
Who scored for City?
John Stones.
Doesn't that mean
I'm watching it right now? Yeah, Liverpool are now fourth, Mush. How you doing, Brad?
I'm at Juma Club, bro. I'm not.
wait.
He's not actually here. He's just a mirage.
Do you know what's so mad as well? Aren't Everton like a game in hand and 2 points behind you guys?
Yes.
They are.
What about Villa? Villa have got a lot of games in hand.
Yeah, Villa have quite a few games in hand, yeah.
I don't I don't mind Sebi and Dissu, but Chelsea and Arsenal fans giving me this kind of talk. I don't understand.
Hey, look. I'm going to be shameless no matter what.
I'm going to be a dog, bro.
I'm going to be shameless no matter what, bro. I'm not going
to say
this.
You need to understand, you know. I know my team's dead.
I ain't got nothing to lose right now, you know?
I know my team's dead, innit?
Quick thing, yeah. Something that's come to me just now. I had a premonition. You said you're missing Tierney, yeah? Yeah, so Tierney's a big impact on stuff like that.
What, a left back?
That's what I'm trying to get. Like, I think Tierney kind of
showed. Do you know what he does, Tierney, on the left side for us?
He brings
a lot of energy,
innit? Yeah, I don't know, brother.
He brings a lot of that energy, bro. He drinks
some of that. Is he a personal trainer?
He has the iron boot before the game, innit? And he just does his thing, bro. Nah, on the real, it gives us a lot of balance on the left side, so we can put Saka on the right, because Saka's a lot better for us on the right side. So
what you say? What on the left? Saka's got no post moves.
Wait, Saka did
no post moves.
Hold on, Saka was on the right.
Was he on the right? On
yeah, right on the right.
A lot of the time,
started on the right, brother. Started on the right, brother.
Wait. Boy, I can't really remember the game too tough. I'm not gonna lie, most of the game I fell asleep because of it.
The touchy goodness are gonna be fuming at you.
They didn't tell you to come on here
to be doing rubbish. That's for sure.
Nah, Tierney. I'm standing my ground. Nah, Tierney, lack of Tierney did affect us though in terms of our gameplay. He does bring a lot of energy for us.
That guy don't do shit apart from kick the ball long and defend hard.
Respect the guy, man. Tierney's on job. He's better than your boy, Shaw.
What am I saying? Iron Brewer, inshallah, yeah?
Bro, real talk.
Is that what Tierney's on, yeah?
Tierney's a good player, man.
Short sleeve and Hail Mary. That's what he's on, bro.
Hey, listen, I heard from a reliable source, yeah, that, and I think the reliable source might be in this chat or might be somebody else, I can't remember, but you lot are chasing a goal and you lot move your style by Saka to fullback. Can somebody confirm or deny?
Can you let us know that, brother?
Hey, that Arteta has a lot to answer for, man. He's had a lot of war crimes this season already, innit? So I don't know too tough with him, you know, why he's doing that. It was a bit mad. It was a mad move still. I'm not going to lie.
The Saka post moves.
AMN was having a shot.
The Saka post moves.
Bro, you've been sure Saka, what Saka can do, you know? He's got a little shimmy, he's got a little, you know, little...
He's good when he's going down.
You'd be surprised, you know?
How was Thomas Partey?
Partey was... Came on for a bit.
Right, not Partey after Partey.
No, Partey after Partey. Yeah.
Hey, you can't... Listen, you lot, don't try this, you know?
Partey had a good 20 minutes to play.
Listen, I'm not having it yet.
He had a good 20 minutes to play.
Yeah, Partey.
Quite a bit of time. At 0-0 as well.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Partey could have influenced that game.
Another question. Do you feel victimized, deceived, run amok, bamboozled by Aubameyang signing new contracts and his performances afterwards?
Because you guys gave Ozil that energy. So I want to see that same energy for Aubameyang.
Listen, I haven't given Ozil that sort of energy. So,
oh, you guys, thank you.
I've never been involved with all that energy. I think
as we're recording now, it seems like he's signing for Fenerbahce.
Yeah, he's signed.
Who?
I think with Aubameyang, part of it.
Hold on. Who's he signing for?
My legend's going outside in the kebab league.
Wait. Ozil's a legend.
Wait.
He's my guy, man. Ozil's my guy, bro.
Hold on. Calm. So he signed for Fenerbahce. Earl, I wanted to get your thoughts on his time at Arsenal. What's his legacy going to be?
I think he's going out sad, to be honest, because of the way things ended, of course. But I'd say he had three good seasons, one solid one, one all right one, and two bad ones. That's it, really. There's not really
three good
much
seasons.
To touch on.
Three good seasons.
Yeah, definitely had three good seasons.
Three.
Two good seasons. Let's say one all right season and then two bad ones.
So
that's,
two good
that's
seasons.
That's how I see
then.
It.
So for 50 million player, yeah?
I wouldn't class him as a...
So that's two.
I know a lot of people... Listen. I know a lot of people say he's a flop. People say he's this, but nah. He's been... He's done his thing, innit? Like,
what's his thing?
Part of the issue, listen, let me talk. Part of the issue
with
Ozil's time at Arsenal is not supplying him with, let's say, a good striker in front of him. I mean, Giroud's done his job, but
a better striker than Giroud, I think during his period, and especially in those first two seasons at Arsenal, for Ozil, I think we could have won the title. Fam, it was very possible. And then when we added Alexis to it as well, we just needed extra players in certain positions to just fulfill that requirement.
What was your favourite?
Don't do that face, because that's a fact, though. Let's
what, was
what
was your favourite Ozil game away from home against a big team?
My favourite Ozil game away from home?
Against a big team.
Boy, that one's there, and he was chilling in it. Let's be real. But at home, he done this. Ozil had a lot of good games against big teams.
So he could only play at home.
Yeah, just away from
OT,
home.
OT, not much love.
He don't like going OT. He didn't like going OT. But
just half the games, yeah.
So if he played well over two seasons and he didn't play well away, so.
Does that mean we forget every other game he played?
Right now, yeah, Anton is shaking in his Skechers listening to this tomorrow morning.
Anton always texting me about Pogba. Hey, what about your boy, bruv? Your boy's going out. Your boy's going to Turkey, going outside, fam. Going outside. Fenerbahce, bro.
Man's going to the home of the BBL.
What did he achieve in the Prem?
Order,
bro. If you want to class Ozil as a failure, it's not him that's a failure. It's the club that's failed him. I'd say. No, I'm not some Ozil.
Ozil went to get BBL.
No, but seriously, guys.
I think Arsenal failed Ozil rather than the other way around. Personally, I think that's how I see it. Really.
Okay, I'll send to the panel. So, guys who aren't I'll go with you, Mush.
I know what they're gonna say. This ain't fair, Mariah. You know this.
Hey, you're in the host.
I had to mute you there, because you're running amok. Mush, what are your thoughts on Ozil? What do you think his legacy is going to be, his time here?
I mean, I can't believe that I've seen some big Ozil fans compare what Ozil's done at Arsenal compared to what Cesc Fabregas has done. Apparently, Ozil's comparable, which I think is a massive insult to what Cesc Fabregas was doing at Arsenal. Just, I think personally, like these guys are saying, Ozil, for me, no one doubts the ability, but we want to see it on the pitch. And he either hasn't been on the pitch enough, or when he has been on the pitch, what is it? I was listening today, and I think there's no assist or goal away at Spurs, at Liverpool, or at United, I think.
No. He got a goal assist against United in one game. But I remember.
Not United. It was Spurs, Liverpool, and
City. Because he scored against Spurs, bro. He did score away at Spurs.
In the league,
he scored away at Spurs.
It might be the lead.
I do apologize because there were genuinely three teams, but I can't recall because I listened to every team. But my point isn't that. My point is, I think a lot of Arsenal fans use Ozil's Madrid legacy and quality and try and spill that over into his Arsenal career. And
I think you need to remember, like, a lot more people hate Ozil at Arsenal than. They actually use that to batter him.
I agree. I'm talking about the ones that do blindly support him and refuse to see the flaws.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's been glamorized that there's been a lot of bad with a little good in between all of that. I think that's the way it in the reality I see it as.
Yeah, fair enough. I think with Ozil, like, part of it was the way when he came, I think people had some ridiculous expectation of him. I think they thought they had another coming of Messi.
I just think they thought they had the best playmaker.
His
reputation when you signed him.
Yeah,
was. Which was probably that. But he wasn't that type of player.
The issue.
Isn't that type of team. So he was that type of player. Just Arsenal didn't facilitate Ozil.
Which is my point. But I'm saying he wasn't like a Messi. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't a Messi.
No,
What I'm saying is this.
Oliver's got some credence to his point because, like, the expectation of what, like, we're being completely objective. Did Ozil always cover himself in glory? Absolutely not. Like, sometimes he wasn't bothered, and there's been rumors of some of the ways he's carried himself hasn't been ideal. And you could probably see that. But at the end of the day, you buy a playmaker, a number 10, somebody who is excellent at facilitating play, and then you don't really put pieces around them. Like I saw, I think they put in our group chat, the signings after the Arsenal signings. Bro, so many duds, so many duds. And a player like Ozil, and the thing is, even especially in the first 3 years, I think he went to Germany, he won the World Cup with Germany while he was maybe playing for Arsenal. He was the German player of the year multiple times. Like you still saw that high quality level of play when Ozil played for Germany. So it wasn't like he forgot how to play ball. Obviously, Arsenal won. And there was a period when Ozil was super, super good, especially when Arsenal had like, when they finally put Cazorla CM, they put Ramsey on the right, had Sanchez on the left, Ozil 10, like he looked really good. I think they just didn't have enough quality players around him. And there's some, then I think there's an unrealistic expectation when you have a superstar or almost superstar S-type player who is a midfielder for someone like Ozil was a midfielder. Because if you're a striker or forward, you can score goals. So your team could be dead. Like we saw Van Persie. That team that he literally drags to fourth, they were awful. But I remember Liverpool game, nothing's happening. Song, little clip ball, bang, volley into the net. You can't really do that if you're a playmaker by trade, if you don't score goals by trade. So I think there was an unrealistic expectation from Arsenal fans and maybe British fans in general. And obviously the way he carries himself on the pitch, people think he's not trying, which I thought was ridiculous. And obviously certain games when Arsenal just getting spazzed on, what do you want him to do? He's a 10. If his team's got 30% possession, Mustafi's giving away 5 penalties in a game, what do you want man to do? By the same time, like he didn't stand up and account for by his own merit. So it wasn't the greatest of moves. I feel for him to a certain degree because he didn't, a player of his ilk, his reputation right now, his legacy shouldn't be his legacy because of the player he is. Like, and really and truly, he should have probably tried to cut from us after 2-3 years, but he was just comfy with the bag and be in London. Maybe his family was happy, but yeah, his legacy was severely damaged by his Arsenal stint, in my opinion. Man's out from the back chair right now. That's spooky.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying for real. Completely agree with pretty much all of it, man. I do feel, like you said, I think his first season, the third season that we came behind Leicester?
You tell us.
Nah, was it that season? I think after that season, should have cut, really and truly. If Arsenal weren't going to... Van Persie done the same thing, man. Arsenal weren't going to give in to his promises, so he cut. You got to do that sometimes as a player, and you can't just...
He was comfortable.
That's the problem with a lot of players. They get too comfortable at a club and just let things slide. And
but why is that? Why is that a problem? Like, Ozil's achieved so much. He's won...
He's achieved so much, but at the same time...
Like, if a club... If you're very happy in your family, like, remember, these are still human beings. So if your family love London, maybe your kids are in school, your wife loves it, you're a big dog at the club, you're getting 300 bags a week, you might not get anywhere else. Why can't you just be comfortable there? Like, maybe sometimes we want Michael Jordan energy from all footballers, and sometimes not that. Ozil's achieved great, great things, and I think it's only the really, really ridiculous people that could not accept that. Yeah, he might not have had the greatest periods at Arsenal, but Ozil's still a phenomenal footballer and was a phenomenal player, so... Yeah.
The final thing I want to discuss with you guys is, believe it or not, this is the January transfer window. There's been absolutely no movement. And I think looking across at all the faces in this chat, all of us could probably highlight at least one area of the pitch where our teams need improvement. So I just want to go around, speak to you guys. Let me know if you expect your teams to do anything. And if you do or don't, where you'd like to see them make some moves. I'll start with you, Mush. Where would you like to see some signings, and are you expecting your team to make any moves?
I'm sure it doesn't take a genius to work out what position I'm going to say. Definitely right need, definitely. Did you say right back? definitely a centre back, and I think that potentially even two, just because the one who is good for us, Matip, isn't reliable in terms of getting on the pitch. He's just got such a bad injury record. I would personally get an attacker in as well, just to shake things up with Mane and Salah. Jota isn't enough. I want a second one to be pushing, but I'm not sure you get good value in the market. So centre back, and then ideally an attacker.
Cool. Same question for you, Babs.
If Lampard dares to ask for one more player, after spending 220 million, they better flog him down SW6. They better flog him. And even before I come on to that, going on to what Mush said about the centre-back, what I want to say is, though, would a centre-back want to come into Liverpool right now knowing that when Van Dijk and Gomez come back, they're going to be third choice. And if, and if they are, and if they are willing to do that, how much of a quality centre back will they be to actually sit in to help you guys challenge for the league?
That's a good question. I think there's various problems in that. Firstly, about the whole playing with Van Dijk thing, I think a player will accept that he might not be have the status of Van Dijk, but I think that there are players. I think Joe Gomez is talented, but there are players who are better than Joe Gomez, but not as good as Van Dijk. And I think there's a group that's sitting between that. And then the other thing is that Joe Gomez, unfortunately, isn't you know, a stranger to injuries. So you're coming in knowing you're going to kind of play and play a lot. So I don't think it's too much of a hard sell if you even if you join the club thinking you don't have the status at the moment.
Shouldn't you be technically trying to replace Van Dijk long term right now as well, essentially with your next signing as centre back, because he's getting on, isn't he? How old is he now?
29.
Nah, he's just turned 29. Yeah.
I thought he's 30 plus now. But yeah, shouldn't you be aiming for a long-term centre-back signing now?
Agree. Maybe in like a long-term strategy way, but do you get that kind of value in January? I mean, unless we did buy Van Dijk in January, ironically, but that was after chasing him all of summer. I don't think the club have kind of planned for that centre-back yet. We've heard a bit, and if you listen to Kopenfrakus, we had a big interview with Christian Falk from Germany and Bild, and he said that Upamecano was a big interest for the club. So yeah, we'll see if that's part of the long term strategy.
Cool. So for you, Babs, Lampard's gotten as much help as he needs, and he's got the players in hand to sort it out. Yeah.
Yeah, but the only next weakness I see in our team is definitely midfield. We lack a DM greatly. Greatly lack a DM, you know.
Is that a Declan Rice based hole in the team then?
Honor or magic, God forbid. I don't want no Declan Rice in my team, fam. As I was gonna say, if I was gonna go for a DM, I'd say it'd probably someone like Zakaria, so a player that can actually not only play DM but can actually play at centre back as well. Because I know that's the profile the club are actually looking for, that a multi-purpose player. Because I know that's how like Chelsea tend to be. In terms of in the transfer market, we don't really want to sign like a player that's only play one position. So like a Zakaria from Modrin Gladbach would be good, but I feel like that's stuff that's not going to happen in January.
Okay, Seb Disu, if we were to go into the transfer window, what positions would you like to see us strengthen, and who would you potentially like us to go in for?
I need a ball playing DM. I need a ball playing DM to play alongside Pogba. Because I feel like that's probably...
Oh, Pogba starts for you now again, yeah?
Yeah, man. Again, man. It's
Not even 12 months ago. You're calling him a virus.
The best of a bad bunch. I never said that. Never called him a virus. So
You should have got Partey back in the summer, you know.
Honestly. Well, we didn't. So now we have to move on. So now, January, I just need a ball player, defensive midfielder to play alongside Bruno. And and then we probably play somebody number 10, maybe Ahmad or something like that. And then yeah, we go from there still.
Absolute mess. Go on, Disu.
Okay, so I'll be the serious member. I've let my boy get his content off. I think I would like for United to definitely try and get like another right back in. Although Wan-Bissaka did really well today, I was actually impressive on the ball. Like he actually ran past Mane and Robertson a few times. He showed a bit more composure on the ball. So if I could see that development, it would be nice. But maybe some competition. So we're linked to Max Aarons, who I'm not the greatest of fans. I really like Lamptey, but he just signed a new deal. So it'd be interesting to get like another right back. If it was me, I'll get a BBL, not the team that Urs was going to get, but an actual a bounce back loan from the government and spend it all on Douglas Luiz. Give me Douglas Luiz, bro. Give me Douglas Luiz and Pogba and CM. Let Bruno do his thing. Rashford left, and we might 21-21 might be on the cards for real. So, but it's very difficult. I think I was going to say this today. I just remembered there was a transfer market today. Today's like what, the 16th? Like nothing has happened, so 17th. I don't think we'll see much happening in the window, but yeah,
COVID, man.
Yeah,
that COVID killer, like we discussed in the chat, these guys don't even have fans coming in for them to be getting that revenue, so everyone's just trying to keep their head above water. Between now and summer, I guess the hope is that stadiums eventually start to open up, they start getting that revenue back, and then in the summer the teams go again. And I'll go with you, Ole, last but not least. What positions would you want to see your team strengthen, and what players would you like to see come in?
I mean, we need to replace Ozil long term, but the issue is we can't really do that in January. We just need that. We need an attacking midfielder. So, of course, we did discuss it with Sammy on the touchy pod. So, what he's saying to us is that we're likely to get someone in on loan. And then save our budget for the summer. So hopefully we just get one player in, and hopefully he's a good player. But I can't think of who we're going to get that's going to help us to just impact on pushing for top four.
Are you still talking about top four?
Come on. No, it's gone. I don't see us top four, but you know, one of them was like this.
But you said it though.
All right, let me finish it. Let me land. You see, this league changes so much. So if you can pick up a run or something, like just go on a good run, it's still possible. It's like mass wise, it's not gone, but realistically speaking, obviously, I don't think we're going to get it, but mass wise, it's not gone yet. So still have to say it. But yeah, just hopefully we just get a player in and that can just help us push.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Mate, we need it.
Yeah, Spurs managed to pick up a win today as well, 3-1 away at Sheffield United. So good on them. It's really, really cramped at the top of that table. Another five games or so, I think five to ten games, we'll see that spread out and we'll know who's from who, right, Mush and Babs?
Yeah. Don't worry, man. We're pending.
So we've got you guys next week in the FA Cup, so come through again, brother.
I'm about, man. Don't worry.
Lovely. Disu, Seb, always a pleasure. Apologies, Mo. This is not what you signed up for. We stuck our necks out. We invited you weeks in advance.
I had two years, yeah, to come on weekly, enjoy win after win.
Bro.
Yeah.
You were always welcome, brother.
That's the worst bit. The invite was never closed. And now I've come into the madness. What's going on? They threw me into the lion's den, man.
It is what it is.
Babs,
thank you for coming through, brother.
Thank you for having me on, man.
Yeah, first of many appearances, I imagine. Just going to try and hopefully catch you on a week when Chelsea lose, which shouldn't be too far in the distance.
All right, man. We got Leicester on Tuesday. We go on Sunday.
We'd love to see it.
your t-shirt's looking slack. You are stressed.
Hey, you got rust.
Stressful week, man.
You got rust, though. Fight back.
Oh, always a pleasure, lads. It's always a pleasure. I'll catch up with you lot next week.
Love.
Take it easy, bro.
Yeah. Right, man.
Podcast Network.